This is an Our Savior Evangelical Free Church podcast. To learn more, visit osefc.org.
So when Isaiah was really disturbed and cried out, "Lord, who had believed us?" In Isaiah 53, yesterday and today, the Lord was really showing me that. Who had believed us? You know, when he asked that question, Lord really showed him the picture of his death on the cross. If we read that Isaiah 53, it's everything is past tense. Somebody who lived after cross trying to tell him, this is the picture. You know, when he was really making all those things, but God's answer for him was picture of the cross. Before I could leave, Brother Ruben was saying, "Hey, you are going with the power of cross. Thank you." And now, at this time, many children already dispersed, but I'm officially dispersing children to the children's church. Your teachers are waiting outside there. Today, we are going to meditate upon the power of Christ's resurrection. The subject may seem very basic, but we all know that it is the foundation of our Christian life. We'll be going through multiple verses from different parts of the Bible. Please open your Bible if you have one. Otherwise, please use the Bible, the black hardcover found in the pew. Since we are going to refer multiple Bible verses, I will also try to display the verses on the screen. Yeah. Perfect. The first Bible passage we are going to read from Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 to 66, and then we will read chapter 28, verse 1 through 15. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, 'While he was still alive, after 3 days I will raise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciple go and steal him away and tell people he has risen from the dead. The last fraud will be the worst than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure. And now we'll move on to chapter 28, verse 1 through 16. Now after Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And for fear of him, the God trembled and became like dead men. But the angel of the angel said to woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love showed upon us by sacrificing your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for us and resurrecting him from death. Thank you for making us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. Father, you raised us up with Jesus and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Please speak to our hearts and mind through your word. Help us to experience the work of the Holy Spirit within us during this time of meditation. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I have taken three questions to help us meditate on this fundamental, simple truth with a few Bible verses and some practical illustrations from my life. The three questions we are going to discuss and meditate upon: why is the resurrection central to our Christian life? What is the power of Christ's resurrection? How is the power of resurrection of Jesus Christ at work in believers today? These are the main questions we are going to discuss and meditate upon. Why is the resurrection central to our Christian life? The passage what we read in Matthew talks about Jesus' death, burial, and the Pharisees wanted to secure the tomb where he was buried. We also see Jesus' resurrection message was communicated to the ladies, Mary and both the Marys. The chief priests and leaders made the soldiers provide a wrong report about resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus' dead body was stolen by his disciple. It appears like chief priests and leaders at that time manipulated the situation for their personal benefit. Although this is true in a sense, there's a deeper message here. What we don't explicitly see is that through this manipulation, enemy tried to distract us and adds his lies to the power, the truth in the power of the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is the center of the gospel message and foundational reason, fundamental reason for our faith. It's a foundational truth for our belief. What we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 14 through 16, I think that verse is not there. That's fine. So you can follow on the Bible. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Paul writes this to make it very, very clear. The resurrection is really, really required for our faith. Our faith is completely dependent on the resurrection. So that's a reason that enemy wanted to manipulate that fundamental truth, which is liberating all of us. Many of you must have heard about my past life before Christ. When I had a question of how the loving God can punish his own people this much, and why these injustice, why people are hurting us, those kind of questions. You know, it is really, many of the questions is not even hypothetical for me. It is very real. Losing my dad at the age of 12, and ending up in slum, where we could afford only one simple meal a day, felt like God was punishing my family with unending suffering. This was confusing to me, since both my parents were devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Still, I witnessed my mom continue in her deep-rooted faith. I used to ask her, why are you still holding on to this God who really put us in this kind of situation? She used to tell me, no matter how well I can explain to you, you won't be able to understand. I can't make you understand because your spirit is in a dead condition. But one day, Holy Spirit of God will resurrect your spirit. That's the time you will understand. I used to think that uneducated widow, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I used to ignore that. Looking back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, we know all these passages. It's, you know, we must have heard multiple, many times. We see the contrast between Adam was fully alive and Adam was with a dead spirit. When he saw his wife for the first day, He stated very clearly, she is my bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Basically, he said, she is my own. But the very next day, after his spirit was dead, he was the same Adam. He was saying, the woman whom you gave it to be with me, she gave the fruit and I ate. It was a very simple question, yes or no question. His answer was blaming God. This really clearly shows us before he was fully alive and after his spiritual death. The fact of that resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred is accepted among all of us. You know, we all agree that, yes, Jesus died on the cross for me and resurrected. And even the outsiders, non-believers, they do accept maybe possible because all the disciples are claiming and we could not find the dead body, you know, dead body of the Christ. But that is not the core of our faith. The core of our faith is to understand and experience the power of Christ's resurrection, which made us alive together with Jesus Christ. We read that in Ephesians 2, verse 5 through 9. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That leads to the second question. What is the power of Christ's resurrection? Acts chapter 2, verse 24. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Death could not hold him. Imagine we are trying to hold on to a smooth, fast-moving iron rod, metal rod. We won't be able to hold on to that because we don't have any grip. The same way, death could not have any grip on Christ Jesus. He is a perfect, sinless sacrifice to reconcile us from all our sins and injustice. Paul speaks about the importance of knowing Christ, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection in Philippians 3, verse 4 to 11. He wants to count all his credentials as rubbish for Christ's sake. When we think about power, it is aligned with the capacity of subduing somebody or many, or great wealth, or physical strength. Even the powerful countries are measured according to how many countries they can subdue and how wealthy they are. The authorities and powerful influences in this world, we see from the history, it is not sustainable. It's not there. Power of Christ's resurrection is not based on the world's measurement of power. It is totally different. The power of Christ's resurrection offers multiple deep-rooted reflections of Christ Jesus. For the sake of time, I would like to take only three of that important reflections. The first one, power of repentance. We often think that we came forward to accept Christ, repenting. But it is God who has to grant us repentance that leads to life. We read this in multiple biblical passages. It is impossible for a dead man to know that he is dead. However you try hard, can we make a dead man to realize that he is dead? It is impossible. Only through the Holy Spirit of God for us to come to the point of repentance. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. No one can make anyone to truly repent with a heartfelt repentance, with the evidence of life-changing apart from God. Second reflection is the power of forgiveness. As I mentioned earlier, after my dad went to be with the Lord, left behind my mom with 7 children, we ended up living in slum, as I mentioned before. I still remember a situation when a man came to hurt our family and almost kill my mom. This man ended up killing his own wife after a few months and hung himself, living behind his daughters. My mom rescued his daughters when no one else wanted to involve in the situation. How could someone forgive and show love without expecting anything in return? Even those who hurt us badly. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 to 24. We are called to take Jesus' reaction during his suffering as our example. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffered, he did not threaten. We know the first martyr, Stephen, reflected Jesus at the time of his death on this earth. He clearly stated that, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. We know that that's the only time we notice Son of Man standing at the right hand of God in heaven, recorded in Acts chapter 7, verse 56. The third reflection, humility or gentleness. Our Lord Jesus specifically asks us to learn from him his gentleness for that we may find rest in our souls. We do not need to plan few days or few hours to get angry at someone. It naturally comes. We don't need to be really strong or wealthy or, you know, powerful, you know, in any other means to get angry at someone in our heart. Irrespective of things, we can easily get angry at someone even if it is not external, inside our heart, very clearly. But we don't need huge power for that. But genuinely, not get angry, but love our enemies, we need tremendous power. This is the power of gentleness offered by Jesus through the power of the resurrection. We are coming to the last question. How is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ at work in believers today? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and end of this earth. As promised we receive the Holy Spirit of God, who raised our dead spirit and living within us, leading us all the time. We read this more in detail in John chapter 16. This promise of power, the resurrection in our life, has not just happened accidentally, or it is not just mythical concept. It is God's promise and well planned long ago, even before the foundation of this world. It is planned well. We read this in Ephesians 1:4. This tremendous promise of resurrection work within us promised us in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and new spirit. And I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Holy Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. This promise is totally different from the old covenant promise. Contrast between thou shall versus I will. When these promises, the grand offer was promised, when the prophets were writing, they must have breaking their heads. To whom? Such a great promise. To whom? And 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to 12, Peter writes about it, that it is not for them. It is for you and me, brothers and sisters. Indeed, for us, this great promise. You may be wondering how to know whether I'm experiencing the power of Christ's resurrection. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. What is the evidence of us living in the Holy Spirit and keeping walk with the Holy Spirit? The evidence is very clear. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We know it is not fruits of the Holy Spirit, it is fruit of the Holy Spirit, singular. One fruit with nine characteristics of Jesus Christ. We are almost coming to the end of this meditation. We meditated upon why is the resurrection central to our Christian life? What is the power of Christ's resurrection? How is the power of resurrection of Jesus Christ at work in believers today? Resurrection is crucial for our faith, and it is central for our Christian life. The power of his resurrection is not according to the worldly measurement of power, but it provides the nature. It provides the nature of Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We identify this work of the Holy Spirit through the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our daily life. I'm going to pray in a minute now. If you have ever experienced the Holy Spirit, if you never experienced the power of the resurrection, heard about it, but you don't have any trust in that, or you are just thinking that maybe it's not real for me, maybe it is an imagination for others, you may be wondering if this can be true with a tangible, life-changing evidence for me. Maybe you are wrestling with many questions related to injustice caused for you, or a situation which you are struggling, or unsettling injustice in this world. I have only one answer. Like God was giving the answer to Isaiah. Jesus' death on the cross and his death and the power of the resurrection, which raised all of us who are believers today with a tangible evidence of life change, is the only answer. Salvation belongs to God. It is a miracle. Surely God will perform this miracle. If in your life, when you have faith in him, only by faith, salvation is possible. Irrespective of who we are, whether it is Abraham or even us, only through faith. There is no other means. Please join me this prayer with faith, and Lord will do this miracle in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we came before your throne of grace once again with confidence. Thank you, Father, your love towards us. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation. Out of your grace, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for giving life in our mortal bodies and dwelling in us. Even at this time, I pray for those who want to experience the same power which raised Jesus from death in their life. It is your promise that you will sprinkle clean water on us and we shall be clean from all our uncleanliness. And from all our idols, you will cleanse us. And you will give us a new heart, a new spirit. You will put within us a living spirit. And you will remove the heart of stone from us, our flesh, and give us heart of flesh. And you will put your Holy Spirit within us and cause us to walk in your statutes and be careful to obey your rules. And we shall be your people and you will be our God. We claim this promise. Holy Spirit of God, it is not an accident that you gathered us here to receive your word of deliverance. Father, we hold on to your promise. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Deliver us from all the lies of the enemy. Give us clarity and experience your love constantly. Help us to experience the same power which raised Jesus from the grave, which is still working today. Please help those who never experienced this power in their life till now will experience the power in their life as they pray faithfully at this time. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our Savior is a congregation located in Wheeling, Illinois. Our vision can be summed up in four words: building community, bringing Christ. To learn more about this vision and our hope for our neighborhood, visit us online at osefc.org.